That is so true. He's a good father. Open up your Bibles this morning, Galatians chapter 5 again. Continue on through the fruits of the Spirit. In late 70s, early 80s, there was a popular commercial on television. One of these showed a young man walking down a sidewalk. He's got his Sony headphones on. I laughed when I watched it this week because, you know, you can turn on YouTube and see these old commercials, and he had the old Sony Walkmans back in the day, and he was walking quickly down the road, kind of singing to himself, eating on a Hershey's chocolate bar, or what looked like a Hershey's chocolate bar, just chocolate bar. He's quickly walking down the sidewalk this way, and then they show a girl. She's quickly walking down the sidewalk this way, and she's got I thought this was kind of funny because nobody walked around with this. She had peanut butter, a big peanut butter jug and a spoon in there, and she's eating her peanut butter and so happy. Well, they meet at the corner, and guess what? His chocolate bar gets in her peanut butter. And do you remember what they said? You got chocolate in my peanut butter. Well, you got peanut butter on my chocolate. And at the same time, they look at each other, they take a bite, and they go, it's great. It's delicious. Two great tastes that taste great together. Remember that commercial? All of us old enough, we remember that commercial. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, right? Well, this morning I'm going to discuss two fruits that go well together. You might say fruit cocktail, so to speak. This morning, kindness and goodness. Hard to distinguish a difference between the two, but they go well together. And together, they make a difference. They are delicious, so to speak, together. Over the past month, we've looked at love, joy, peace, patience. We talked about love, joy, and peace being kind of our relationship with God. The patience, the goodness, and kindness that we'll talk about this morning, kind of our relationship with each other. These things are not natural to us. These fruits don't just come forth from every life, but they come forth from the life of those people who are committed to Christ and whose Holy Spirit lives in their life. This morning I want to begin by talking about kindness. How does God create kindness in us? If we allow Him, the Spirit of God, one of the things that happens first in our life when we become a Christian is that God heals us. He restores us. He saves us, is the word we like to use. Saves us from what? A lot of times, you know, we forget what we've been saved from, especially if we grew up in church. We just think, you know, well, I was this and I'm this, and it really, you know, not a tremendous, I never was bad, so to speak. I never was off in the world doing the things that a lot of other people were doing. So it's hard sometimes to distinguish this difference. But the Bible's very clear. When we are saved from eternity bound for hell to eternity bound for heaven. We are saved from our natural state to a supernatural state. We are saved to be different. We are transformed, the scripture talks about. Well, one of the things that happens in our life when we are transformed is that God heals our pain in our hearts. He heals and mends the wounds in our life. He breathes life into the dark places and painful places of our life and our soul. Instead of reacting to others then out of pain, we react to others out of a mended heart, which should be different. When we react to someone as a Christian, it ought to be different than what someone in the world may react to the same situation. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But one thing that I am sure of, I've seen it many times in my life, you've seen it, hurt people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. You find someone who's hurting, you will almost always see that they will lash out at others in ways that they shouldn't. Well, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in our life? He heals those hurts. Therefore, we ought to react to people differently. As the Holy Spirit works in our life, we also begin to see opportunities to be kind, opportunities that give us that we are glad for the chance to be kind. We want to make a difference, so to speak. You'll see how much you have to offer others through a simple act of kindness. That's not natural. The natural world doesn't often see how they can make a difference. They don't live with that purpose.
But because we are Christians, God instills in us, because of what I have done for you, you do this for others. As I have loved you, so you love one another. That scripture says, God's saying, because of what I've done to you, go do this for other people. The whole reason behind evangelism. Because of what I've done for you, go share, go into all the world, make disciples of all men. Let them know. One of the things that we see is as God slows us down, we'll have a more full life in seeing the opportunities around us and a greater desire to make a difference in other people's lives. One of the things that matters most in our life is that God does slow us down. Two Princeton University psychologists, John Darby, Daniel Batson, they did a study. They did a study on the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember the parable Jesus told where there was a guy going down from Jerusalem to Jericho? It was it's a hilly area. It's a place where a lot of people were mugged. It was a dangerous area. Well, this guy was going down. Sure enough, he was mugged. He was beaten. He was left for dead. And in the story, Jesus says a priest walked by, didn't help him. Levite walked by, didn't help him. And a Samaritan. You remember the outcast? The oddball, the one that nobody liked, walked by. And he did help him. He bandaged his wound, took him to an inn, said, "Hey, whatever I owe you, I'll come back and pay you." Well, so in these people in this study, they asked some seminary students to give a talk on a given theme. Half the group had the theme ministry opportunities after graduation. The other half had the story of the Good Samaritan, to give a devotion on the story of the Good Samaritan. What they really wanted to see was, would these seminary students take time to help someone who was hurting? So they set this up, and they would walk them a few blocks down to a different building from where they were. And along the way, they would run into a man who was planted in the alley, obviously in pain. Their variable was the time. They said, okay, a third of the group would be given, they would told, "Oh, you got plenty of time." The second third would say, "If you leave now, you'll have time to get down there and give the speech." And the last third were told, "You better hurry, you're already late." So as they went from the one building to the other building, who would offer help to this man in need? It turned out the topic made no difference. Whether they were talking about the Good Samaritan parable or whether they were talking about ministry opportunities made no difference in who helped. What made a difference in who helped, two-thirds of those who were told they had plenty of time stopped to help the man. 45% who were told, "If you leave now, you'll be on time," stopped to help the man. Only 10% who were told, "You're late, you better hurry," stopped to help the man. Now, what does that tell us? It tells me if God can slow us down, He'll use us to make a bigger difference in this world. And I think that's true, because we all know that we live sometimes so quickly, we have so much on our plate, that we don't have time to look at the needs of others. It's not that we don't care. It's we get so busy in our own world. Kindness steps out of our own world to look into the world of others and ask the question, "What can I do to help you?" But if we're so busy in our own world, we don't take time to look. Time is a big factor. We need God to slow us down. Our hurried lifestyle, our hurried agenda often keep us from being as kind as we ought to be. You remember the bumper sticker that said, "Commit random acts of kindness"? That was a big bumper sticker a few years ago. That's good. Random acts of kindness are good, but what about intentional acts of kindness? What about waking up in the morning and deciding, I'm going to look for someone today that I can make a difference in their life? Because I want to tell you something. Every day you wake up, there are people who have needs around you. There are people you pass by today. There are people in this church that you will walk by today who have needs. The question is whether we take time enough to focus on them. Goodness comes from the exact same concept, except it has the possibility of saying, I don't want to perform the action instead for this person, but instead I want the inner moral righteousness. For example, let me give you, if a man stops and holds the door open for a woman, that's obviously an act of kindness. But what if as he opens that door, she says, you're only doing that because I'm a woman? The man might then turn and say, no, ma'am, I'm opening the door for you because I'm a gentleman. That's the difference between kindness and goodness, a real subtle difference. One is an act of kindness, the other is because of who we are. That's how goodness and kindness work together. Kindness comes from who we are, goodness from how we act towards others. Kindness in your heart's not enough unless it spills out into goodness in your life. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said this, let your light so shine before men that they see what? Your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. Let that which is in your heart, that kindness in your heart, shine in such a way that other people see your goodness and give God the glory for it. It was the same idea that James had when he wrote, but someone might say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Kindness and faith, that which is inside of me, naturally should be seen in our actions. You know one of the biggest problems with Christianity? You know what the biggest problem of Christianity, if you ask people in the world, is? The biggest problem with Christianity, if you ask people in the world, is that which we claim to have inside doesn't match with that which we live outside. You know what they call it? Hypocrisy. Hypocrites. I think the number one thing that I've heard from people who don't go to church, matter of fact, I hear this all the time these days. It's an excuse, but it's the excuse that they use. The reason why people don't go to church is they say, I don't want to go to church with those bunch of hypocrites. You know what they're saying? Matter of fact, some guy was explaining to me this last week. I'm not going to go to church on Sunday morning and see those same guys that I see in the bars on Saturday nights. That's the exact words he used. You know what that says? That says people in the world are bothered when people in the church claim one thing and live another. And I think that's rightfully so. I think our actions ought to match with what is in our hearts. But I also think that's an excuse for some people, or for a lot of people. Because you know what? The same people will go to the grocery store with the hypocrites. They'll go to the movies with the hypocrites. They'll go anywhere else with the hypocrites. You know what it is? It's a spiritual problem for them. But it's also sometimes a spiritual problem that we create by our lives that don't match up with our faith. That's what James is saying. He's saying, hey, you say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. Let me tell you what that means for us as Christians. Christians ought to exude goodness. The terror attacks of 9/11. I watched a movie the other night on Pearl Harbor. And I thought about, you know, for the generation that are now in their 70s and 80s, or maybe even 90s, Pearl Harbor was their moment in time when the world changed. For our generation, the moment in time when our world kind of changed, what I will probably go to my grave remembering as one of the most horrible days on the planet was 9/11. You remember 9/11, you know, when the planes hit the Twin Towers and people came pouring out. But what amazed me as I watched it that day were the people who went pouring back in. They ran into danger. They ran into help. Those are the pictures that were etched in my mind. You know, and I think about it this way. Kindness and goodness are counterculture. In other words, totally opposite of what you might expect. Instead of everybody running for their life, there were those who were running for their life, but there were those who were running to be lifesavers. Christianity is counterculture. While the rest of the world lives one way and approves one way, we as Christians live another. We live in a look out for number one, dog-eat-dog world. I think we would all agree with that. We're told, you know, you get what you make for yourself, so to speak. But counterculture says it's not about what we get, it's about what we give. It's not about what we leave. He who has the most toys really doesn't win. He who touches the most lives, he who makes the biggest difference when it's all said and done. That's what Jesus did. Just think about Jesus. Do you think Jesus ever got in a hurry? Read the scripture and just kind of, as you go along, it seems Jesus always had time for people. I know the world was different, but I don't see Jesus, at least from Scripture, being in such a hurry that he passed by needs. I see him taking time like a woman at the well that nobody else had time for. That was counterculture. Christianity that's counterculture looks for opportunities of kindness and goodness that the rest of the world lets pass by. When we believe the gospel, we understand we're called to action. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wasn't that part of the greatest commandment? It wasn't the greatest commandment. It was the greatest commandment, right? You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't separate them. So in other words, if you love God, you got to love people. And if you say, I love God, and you don't love people, you're wrong. You're living in your own biblical thought, not the Word of Christ. Let me give you, as we close out this morning, a few ways to demonstrate kindness and goodness. Number one, be sensitive. Kind people are sensitive to the needs of others. Kindness starts with noticing what's going on in other people's lives. The only way sometimes we can be kind is we have to ask questions. We have to observe. Here's a fact. Everyone you meet this week needs kindness. Everyone you meet this week needs kindness. Be sensitive. Number two, be supportive. That means building people up instead of tearing them down. And let it start with your speech. Be supportive in your speech. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Many times what we say starts the ball rolling towards what others think. Kind words can build a bridge. Harsh words can tear that bridge down. Sometimes that bridge of relationship between people is much easier to tear down than it is to build back. Joseph. Remember the story of Joseph after all of his trials? Rose to power in Egypt, and here comes his brothers. And man, he has got the opportunity to get them back. He has got the opportunity to lay it to them. You did this to me, now let me tell you what I'm going to let you do. You know, you say there's a famine over there, you're a little hungry. Good. That's not what he did. It's not what he did at all. He forgave his brothers. He loved his brothers, even when his brothers had let him down. When given the opportunity to retaliate, he spoke kindly to his brothers. Be supportive. Thirdly, be sympathetic. The Bible tells us, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. In Romans 12:15. And also the shortest verse in Scripture, the one that we, you know, back in when you said, okay, you need to memorize a verse. What's the shortest verse in Scripture? What'd you memorize? Jesus wept. Y'all all did that, didn't you? Me too. You know what? The meaning of those two words, Jesus wept. You know what that says to me? He cared. So yeah, that verse is short. But man, that verse is powerful in its meaning. Be sensitive, be supportive, be sympathetic. And finally, the last one, be spontaneous. Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those of the household of faith. Look around. What flows from us as Christians, as we get closer to Christ, what naturally comes out of our life is kindness and goodness. And the people that ought to see it the most are your brothers and sisters in Christ. The people who ought to experience the goodness of that or what flows from that are all the people in your life who have needs. As you are sensitive to what God wants to do in their life and use you as an instrument. Goodness and kindness, two great things that go great together. You know, this morning you may be here and, you know, if I ask you to think of someone in your life who needs kindness. You know, this is a real practical message in the sense that none of us here today can walk out saying, oh, that didn't apply to me. Because let me tell you, there are people in your life who need kindness. The question is whether you will look for those people. So if I was to ask you this morning, who's someone in your life that you need to go and reach out to, care for, call, give an encouraging word, write a note, whatever it takes to be kind, who would that be? And the invitation this morning is for you to take it on your heart and do it. If you're here today and you're struggling in an area of your life, maybe this morning you want to come forward and have some people pray for you. We'll be glad to do that as well. Kindness and goodness. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for loving us when we were not lovable, when we broken in our sin, walking away from you, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross to save sinners, even like us. Lord, and we're not perfect, for sure. Sometimes we miss the boat. Sometimes we're not kind, but God, teach us to be more kind. Teach us to take what's in our heart and make a difference in those around us. Lord, help make us good. Although we know our goodness will never save us, only your Son, Jesus, only the cross. Lord, this morning, if there's anyone here who today needs to carrying a burden and maybe just needs to come forward and pray, anyone who needs to trust you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, most of all, those who are here today who are Christians, lay it on our heart to be kind toward those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name.